You're listening to the Prayer Storm podcast. We pray that this teaching blesses you, challenges you, and equips you, leaving you ignited for all that God has for you. Don't forget to check out James Laddering's book, Life on Fire, which is out now. You can find this and more at prayerstorm.org, or you can click the link in the description below.
I'm not really going to speak for very long because I'm more wanting to share an exhortation as to why we're here for this gathering. Because I don't want you to come here and just think of this as another conference. It's not another conference. It's more than a conference. It's a battle rally cry. It's a summoning to the battlefront. Because something is about to happen. In fact, we are in a critical moment in the history of this nation. And we're asking that as you come to this place, you connect to the urgency of this moment right now. And you don't miss what God's doing. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? So I'm going to just share some stories with you as to why the battle for Britain. If I'm not mistaken, in 2013, I was in America. I went for a conference in Austin, Texas. And, you know, because Hamilton, Alabama is like, you know, a second home. I'm always flying through there. I flew through Hamilton. I was with my wife and we're staying somewhere. And we're just hanging out. And at that point, I had not met Lou Engle in person yet. You know, I'd just been following his ministry. Lou Engle, you hear about him in a few moments. And so we were just spending some time together. And one of the things that my wife said to me in that time, she said, wouldn't it be amazing if Lou Engle just tweets or just goes across Prestum's social media feed? And she, actually, that was a prophetic thought because like an hour later, we got a tweet from Lou Engle. And it was this, at James Laderan at Prestum, raise up a house of prayer that overthrows the Islamic house of prayer. And we were both like, what? Now, our fight is not against flesh and blood, as you should all know. But we are in a battle of the altars right now. And we cannot have a prayer meeting while the Muslims have a prayer culture. Now, in case you think we're against the people, we're not against the people. We're just aware that you can't sit on the fence in the spirit realm. You're either with God in the light or you're aligned to the enemy. And prayer is powerful, whatever kingdom you're in, because it's a means of transaction with the spirit realm. And so people on the dark side can engage powers of darkness and cause manifestations in this realm because of their knowledge of that realm on the dark side. And that's how a lot of witchcraft operates. And so for the Christians to really rise and influence a nation, we have to invest in the spirit. Someone say invest in the spirit. And so while I was spending time with my wife, she looked at me and was shocked and looked at my forehead and said, James, I'm like, what? Haven't you seen my forehead before? James, there's a birthmark on your forehead. Yes, I've known that. But James, the birthmark on your forehead is the map of the United Kingdom. Wait, I'm like, really? I look in the mirror. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's Scotland. Oh my goodness, there's Wales. Oh my goodness, there's Ireland. The map of the United Kingdom is on my forehead as a birthmark. And I didn't even know it till my wife pointed it out to me. Now, after this meeting, don't come staring at my forehead. But in that moment, I realized I was marked for this territory. Did you hear me? A birthmark, God saying, you were born to be here because, James, your sound is going to alter the foundations, the spiritual atmosphere of a territory. So I'm going to make sure you end up in the United Kingdom. So even though I wasn't born here, this is now my home. And I've adopted this land. I've married this land. My wife is actually British. So I've actually, literally married this land. And my heart is burning for the destiny of this land. And as many of you know, this nation is going down the wrong path right now. And it has been for a long time. And the only way things will change is if the church wakes up. Because the church is spiritually responsible for the spiritual environment or the spiritual temperature of the nation. God is not looking at the world. He's looking at the church. We are the one he's given the keys. He's given the keys to us. And in many places, the church is not using the keys because we're compromised, we're distracted. And so we are in a moment that's critical. And this moment should not be missed. You can read your Bible and go, oh, the disciples, you know, they did not understand the significance of Jesus while they were walking with him. As you read the miracles that Jesus did, you're like, wow, what would it have been like to be in the garden? Oh, you know, if I was with Peter, I would never have slept when they slept. Listen, you would have slept too. Oh, I can't believe all those people, they were around Jesus and didn't realize how significant it was. All the crowd, I wonder what I would do if I was in the crowd. You probably do exactly what many Christians are doing right now. You're criticizing them for missing their moment while you're missing yours right now. God decided you were not born in the days of Jesus. He decided you were not born in the days of John Wesley. He purposed in his mind that you were born right now for such a time as this, because your voice is significant for a generation. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose, on time. Even if the circumstances surrounding your birth were no ideal, God knew you were coming. So he made provision for your arrival. There is a destiny locked up in you. And it's not just about you. It's bigger than you. Many people are connected to your obedience. And many people will suffer for your disobedience. So this is the time to wake up. And so we've come into this moment of convergence right now. We call this meeting the Battle for Britain. Actually, it's a spin-off of another battle that happened 85 years ago. Right now, 85 years ago, in the United Kingdom, there was a battle that was going on. It was the Battle of Britain. And if you know your history, you know the RAF, the Royal Air Force, the British forces, they had to fight the German forces in the air. And it was a fierce battle that went on for several months. And Hitler knew and had a battle strategy of to get hold of the United Kingdom, to conquer the land, he had to exert his earth supremacy. And so whoever has earth supremacy has advantage in battle. And you know the church has lost earth supremacy when you see the lifestyles of the people in the territory the church is meant to have earth supremacy in. Because in the territory where the church is supposed to be reigning, the church is growing in number, but the people in the territory are getting worse by the day. The church is growing in big events, but people are getting more stuck in addictions and pornography and suicide and all kinds of drug addiction and all kinds of darkness. And even the government in the nation does not respect the church anymore. Because, see, it's a sign the church has lost air supremacy. Something else has been influencing the airways. Whatever is influencing the airways dominates the psyche of the people under that atmosphere. What you don't consciously stand against, you're subconsciously influenced by. And so if there is no conscious resistance in you against Jezebel and Babylon, you come under that government. It influences your thinking. Before, you're preaching, but Babylon has colonized your language. You're preaching, but you have been neutralized and there is no conviction or authority. You're trying to please the people. That's someone that has been colonized by the devil. If you're scared of standing up for the truth and all you're concerned about is just preaching and speaking words, but I don't want to hurt anyone, eventually you're going to be preaching with the devil's microphone. Because there is this territory, people pleasing. He's not into the game of pleasing people. Now, it doesn't mean you go out to offend people on purpose, but the message of the kingdom will make people uncomfortable. And can I announce to the United Kingdom Church, since this is Battle for Britain, we have got to learn to be full of conviction to the point where even if the government want to take away our gift aid privileges, we will say, listen, to be true to this text, take your gift aid.
And if you're not in the UK, you don't understand what I mean, it's okay, you can look it up online. Because some people, because of money, they were like, oh, you know what, let's change how we're saying this. Let's not make everyone upset. We're not trying to make them upset, but the gospel would. See, when you start to speak it, it irritates demons. And demons work through personalities. So they try to intimate you, quiet down, quiet, you know, just change it. Just do this, you know, and everyone is going to like you. We're not here to try to get everyone to like us. We're here to get people to know that God loves them. He loves us. We preach the truth in love. But nonetheless, we have to speak the truth, right? So the Lord is wanting the church in the United Kingdom to wake up. Because even though in 1940 they were fighting the battle of Britain, right now we're fighting the battle for Britain. And when they fought that battle, it was over 3,000 RAF soldiers. No, almost 3,000, not over, almost 3,000 RAF soldiers. You know what I found out recently? The RAF were made up of people from different countries. It was mostly British, but you had Africans in there. Can I get some Africans, make some a shout in this place? There were also Europeans in there. Can I get some Europeans in there too? I'm sure you're louder than that. Europe, are you going to shout for Great Britain right now? Come on. We have people from all over Europe here. And you know the Americans were a key part of that Second World War as well. So can we get some Americans, make some... So you had all these different nations coming together. Because France had fallen to Nazi Germany. Many nations were falling. Now it was Britain's turn to fall. But all the nations came together. And the declaration in the spirit was, Britain must not fall. Britain must not fall. Declare that. Britain must not fall. Britain must not fall. Britain must, say it again. Britain must not fall. Britain must not fall. Yeah. They came together to form the RAF force. And they started to fight in the air. Do you know what that means for us? They started to rise in intercession. And they started to fight in prayer. They started to fight in prayer. It took several months, but eventually they won the battle of the air. And I want to announce to you right now, even though the church may seem beaten down, the church may seem intimidated, the church may seem disrespected by the secular media, I want to announce to you, Great Britain, the church is arising. The church is arising. Britain must not fall. Britain must not fall. Britain must not fall. Britain must not fall. Ay, 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 ay. Britain must not fall. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. If the RAF lost that battle, we'll probably not be here right now. The reason why Britain must not fall is because God has invested so much in this land. The revivals that came from these shores have impacted the ends of the earth. Do you want to talk about John Knox, the great intercessor? That the Queen was afraid of his prayers. Do you want to talk about John Wesley, the great preacher who preached and people got slain in the spirit, thousands turning to Jesus? Do you want to talk about George Whitefield, another great preacher from this shore? Oh, of recent times. Or do you want to talk about Derek Prince, the great mobilizer for fasting and prayer, who taught about casting out demons? Don't you tell me demons are not real. A white British teacher was teaching deliverance to the whole world. Do you want to talk about Mary Slessor, the great intercessor from Scotland, who influenced the destiny of regions in Nigeria and stopped the killing of twins? Do you want to talk about Evan Roberts, who was used as a spearhead to kickstart the Welsh revival that went around the whole world and impacted nations? We're still talking about it till today. Oh, or do you want to talk about Leonard Ravenhill, another great preaching revival machine that came from these shores? I want to announce to you, British people, where are the warriors of our time that will fight the battle for Britain? Leonard Ravenhill fought his battle. Smith Wigglesworth. You want to talk about the great apostle of faith that came from these shores? Where are the warriors of our generation? Where have they gone? Let it rain, shook the whole nation. We're still talking about him today. He was a British man that preached with fire. But today, the spirit of the age in Babylon has silenced our preachers. I want to talk to you, white people. This is not a black thing. This is not a Korean thing. It is a kingdom thing. It is a kingdom thing. Thank God for black preachers, but we need to see more white British men and women carrying the same fire of Smith Wigglesworth, the same fire of Evan Roberts. The British voice needs to arise again, and as our declaration, let the British lion roar again. Let the British lion roar again. We will not stop until the nation is reawakened. The apostolic mandate on these shores must arise, must arise. It must arise. Come on, begin to pray. Say, Lord, wake the land, wake the land. Yeah, 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 yeah. Preachers, arise. Apostles, arise. We will not be convenient. Yes. We're going to fast, we're going to pray. The hearts of this generation will turn to our forefathers. We'll turn to the fathers of this land. George Jeffreys, the Jeffrey brothers sparked a great awakening. My goodness, Lord, remember the sacrifice of the Jeffrey brothers. Remember the sacrifice of Smith Wigglesworth. Remember his prayers. Remember the prayers of Evan Roberts. Remember the sacrifice of Mary Slessor. Remember the preaching and the teaching of Derek Prince. Remember, remember, and save our generation by raising up apostolic voices that will not be intimidated. Come on, pray. Say, Lord Marcos, Marcos, it's our time. The spiritual RAF must arise. The spiritual RAF must arise. raise our voices in this place. 7th of July 2007. 7707. I was in a stadium in Nashville, Tennessee, with 77,000 other people. How many? And the date was 777. I was just an ordinary person in that crowd. Like some of you may feel ordinary in this crowd right now. I was minding my own business, just praying. Next thing, I get an awareness that the Lord was speaking to me. And you know what he said to me? That I've not been able to shake off since. He said, James, just like you're in this stadium and you're seeing so many people gather to pray, James, you will mobilize for prayer and fasting in the United Kingdom. That was the first time that idea entered my head, or my spirit, shall I say. I made a note of it. That was 2007. 2009, I came back to Manchester. I started some prayer meetings. Some young people connected with were meeting weekly to pray. And one day, I just felt led to gather these groups together to have a day of prayer for the city of Manchester. So I got my friends together. We booked a venue not far from here. This was May of 2009. Several weeks to the meeting, I realized the meeting doesn't have a name. So I'm thinking, Lord, we need a name for this meeting we're about to have. It's a prayer meeting, but we need to call it something. So I'm pacing back and forth in my bedroom. Lord, what do you want us to call this meeting we're about to have? I'm pacing back and forth. As clear as day, I heard in my heart these words, prayer storm. Pray, everyone say prayer storm. Before that day, I had never put those two words together. I thought, wow, I love that name. A storm that is a prayer storm. I think that's a great name. We're going to call it prayer. So we called the meeting prayer storm. And I thought it was just a one-off event. But after that event, God started to speak to me some more. And it became this movement. So that was 2009. Everyone say 2009. In 2013. Everyone say 2013. I got to meet Luingo. Now, you know the gathering in the stadium I was talking about where 77,000 people gathered? The man who mobilized that gathering is a man called Luingo. He's here this weekend, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. In 2013, I got to meet Lou. You remember that tweet he tweeted us? And he said, raise up a house of prayer. I had no idea that he didn't even know that I was meant to meet him a couple of days after that tweet. I thought the guy that had arranged the meeting with me and Lou had told Lou that, oh, Lou, James is coming. And so maybe Lou went on Instagram and phone, Twitter. So when I arrived at that meeting where I was meant to connect with Lou, the guy who was meant to introduce us had forgotten his promise to introduce us. And I'm not one of those people that just goes and say, hey, it's me, your biggest fan. I'm not going to do that. So I looked at my wife and I said, oh my goodness, we traveled all this way and he forgot about his promise. I was so disappointed. My wife said to me, just remind him. I was like, I can't be bothered reminding him. He's forgotten. So, you know, we traveled across the pond and how could he forget? Thank God for a good wife that encourages you. Can we give it up for my wife, Rebecca Lateran? Rebecca was like, just remind him. I'm like, okay. So reluctantly, I went to this guy called Rick Pino. I said, hey, Rick, you said we should come over. You invited us to this meeting, and you said you were going to introduce us to Lou. He's like, oh, I thought you knew him. I'm like, you told us to come, that you would introduce us. He's like, oh, well, I guess you forgot then. So he's like, oh, okay. So he says, hey, Lou Engel, this is James Lateran. And he runs something called Prayer Storm. Lou's response was, oh, so you're the James I was tweeting just a few days ago. In other words, God had prepared his heart for that meeting. So he knew a lot about Preston. Here's where it gets interesting. So as we're talking, Lou says, James, just to encourage you, you know the meeting in 2007 where there were 7,000 people gathering? That meeting was called The Call, right? So Lou said to me, hey, James, that meeting, The Call, it used to be called Prayer Storm. Did you hear that? That meeting where God said to me, you'll mobilize like this for prayer in the UK. I didn't know that meeting, even though at the time I heard the word, it was called The Call. That meeting used to be called Prayer Storm. And God gave me the same name that movement used to have, and I had no idea about it. As a prophetic sign, here is the sign. In America, Lou Engle mobilized prayer for about 3 years. He called it Prayer Storms in the 90s. And it built up to, I believe, the year 2000, where they had The Call DC. Everyone say The Call DC. Significant. If I'm not mistaken, it was September 2nd. On the mall in Washington, D.C., the very first call gathering. Guess how many people gathered to fast and pray for 12 hours? 400,000 people. So the prayer storms in America led to a mass mobilization of fasting and prayer. So God gave me the name Prayer Storm for the UK. Because it's a prophetic story that he's writing. That just like those prayer storms led to mass gatherings of fasting and prayer, guess what? These prayer storms will lead to what? Mass fasting and prayer for revival across the United Kingdom. Like never before. So this battle for Britain is our first step in that direction. Did you hear me? This battle for Britain is our first big step in that direction. Because up until now, when we've gathered people to pray, it's been a few hundred, maybe 1,000. We've never gathered this many ever as a movement. But the Lord spoke to us last year and said, your season has shifted. What I said to you 17 years ago about mobilizing for prayer, now is the season to mobilize like you've never seen before in the United Kingdom. You know what that tells me? God has not forgotten the United Kingdom. And there's a great revival coming. There's a great move of the Spirit coming that will shake the foundations, shake the core of this land, and usher in a great awakening like we've never seen before. So why battle for Britain? Britain must not fall. It may seem like it's fallen, but no. The Lord is raising up a standard. We have that standard of intercession and prayer against the flood of perversion and Babylon. Against the flood of intimidation that swept across the culture. He's raising up a countercultural resistance to the moral decline of this day. And we are that resistance. We are the resistance. God has not forgotten the British Isles. Just lift your hands with me right now. I'm done. Father, we want to be part of this army you're raising up. Mark us. Like you marked Smith Wigglesworth, like you marked Evan Roberts, like you marked John Wesley, Charles Wesley, like you marked these great saints that came from these shores. Many in this room are descendants of revivalists. Mark us with the same fervor they carried. That miracle anointing you placed on the Jeffreys, mark us with that apostolic anointing that birthed the healing movement. Mark us with that again. The mantles that have been hanging and looking for places to land. Lord, over this weekend, find us in this place as worthy vessels that can carry on the work of those who have gone ahead of us. Mark us with a spirit of travail in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this Prayer Storm podcast. For more content, find us on Instagram @PrayerStorm, all one word, and on YouTube prayerstorm.tv.